Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. I'm Cortland, and with me today is the guy that thinks all babies are this big. It's Brandon. How you doing, Brandon?
I'm good, Cortland. How are you?
I'm doing good too, Brandon. Well, Brandon, today we have a very special guest, so we ain't going to talk about our stuff today. Today we have Amy from the Pop Culture Retrospective Podcast. How are you doing, Amy?
I am doing very well on this fine Saturday morning.
I know. I'm such Thanks a jerk. I know, right? Yeah. I'm like, you got 6 a.m. on a Saturday, right, Amy? That should be good for you.
Oh, yeah. You know what? We are up. I have early to bed kids and early to rise. So on average, I'm up probably about 5 a.m.
Oh,
6
gosh.
Out of the 7 days a week. So not a problem at all.
I definitely appreciate you coming here today. So, you know, typically Brandon and I, we talk a little bit here, talk about our weeks, but we don't do shit. We're boring. So,
yep.
Amy, what have you been up to? How's life?
Life is pretty good. Can't complain. I have two kids, two little boys that are 6 and 8, so they certainly occupy a ton of my time. So this week has been comprised of some Boy Scout stuff, because I'm a den leader, which is very exciting. Ooh. And I also own a photography business, so I'm always kind of working on that. And then I'm also getting pretty excited because next weekend I'm attending 90s Con Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of pop culture nerds there who are, you know, much like myself, and many of the cast members of Saved by the Bell will be there, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, That's so I'm awesome. Really excited.
Are you
yeah,
going to get any autographs in particular?
You know, I think I'm just going to be more like a kind of floating around, because if you want to have pictures or autographs taken, that's an additional cost. So if you'd like to take a 1 minute photo with Zach Morris, it's going to cost you about $75 or more. So I think I'm just going to kind of be on the outskirts and go to the panels and cool. the swag stores. But yeah, I'm really excited about it.
The only thing I know about Zach Morris, so I never really watched Saved by the Bell, but there's a mm-hmm. series about Zach Morris being trash. Have you ever watched it?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's a Funny or Die.
Yeah.
Bit. Yes.
Brandon, have you seen it too?
No, never heard of it.
Oh, it's pretty great. You should watch it.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. I'm really, really excited. I kind of heard about it last minute, and I'm actually not too far from Hartford. I have family that lives right outside of the city, so it works out perfect. So this might be an annual thing for me. So I'm pretty excited.
I love it. I'm trying to look up some information. Apparently, I don't know how to spell Connecticut, but that is so cool. I've been to a couple of conventions myself. I did. The best ones, I feel, are the ones where you're like, you know what, let's just go, you know, just kind of spur of the moment thing. That's
yes.
how I went to one for The Walking Dead a couple of years ago before the guy who played Herschel died, and I got an autograph picture with him. So
nice.
You never know. You never know.
Yeah. And I actually share the same birthday as Mark Paul Gosselaar, who was Zach Morris. So that feels pretty special.
Oh,
so
my gosh. Guys have birthdays together.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. I just we had a Comic-Con convention last week that was kind of like a local one, not super huge, and my wife and I had a booth there because she sells wax melts, and it didn't go so good, but it was okay. I think it was the wrong crowd for it, maybe, but yeah, it was chilling. I was like, do you listen to podcasts, anybody? Hello, my business card, please. Listen.
Never heard of them.
Yeah.
It was fun though. It was fun. I hope you have a really good time.
Nice. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be kind of like a solo thing, so night away from the kids. So I'm sure I'll sleep really well and will be well prepared for the event. So looking forward to it.
Beautiful. Now, with your kids, are you introducing them to pop culture retrospective? Like, are you like watching movies and stuff with them and everything?
Yeah, I kind of explain it to them. They don't quite grasp what a podcast is, but I sort of explain it that I am a like radio host and I have a radio show. And they're
that's
very,
what I tell my
very...
old folks in my family too.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, that's a radio show on a really specific topic, and I just kind of explain to them that I talk about stuff that their aunt and me were really into as kids. And they're both still a little bit skittish around some movies and TV shows and stuff. So I think there are some things I'm going to have to hold off on showing them. But they do have like a lot of my old toys, and which I kind of explained to them about, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and this old Fisher-Price house. So they do have some familiarity with stuff that, you know, we were into as kids because we took good care of our stuff. And my kids do not.
That's
so
awesome. That's cool.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of different phases in our podcast. We started with Are You Afraid of the Dark? We moved on to Goosebumps, and now we're in Tales from the Crypt. Mm-hmm. Did you watch most of those shows growing up too?
You know, I think I remember them coming on late at night. I was a bit of a night owl, I would say, for most of my teenage years and young adult life. So I remember it coming on at like 11 o'clock at night when I was up doing, I have no idea what, but up late, up all night. So I have a vague memory of watching it, especially the Crypt Keeper. I remember, you know, that opening the show, I don't... Yeah. How can you forget? So I don't have any distinct memories of like episodes specifically, but I do have memories of the show being on.
Cool. All right. Let's see. Today we're here to talk about the season one finale, actually. Season one was only 6 episodes long.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that.
I know, right? Really short season. But we all, I believe, anyway, correct me if I'm wrong here, we all watched Collection Completed. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. I'm always worried about the day when we don't watch the same episode. But that's not today. We got Collection Completed over here. Well, I'm going to ask Amy first. Amy, what did you think about Collection Completed?
Geez, that's very hard to describe and encapsulate because it's just so so profound. God, where do I start? I think it was really an unexpected episode. It was not what I was anticipating, that, you know, kind of the main... Yeah, the main characters were two, older folks with not like a super interesting backstory to them. So it's kind of like an unlikely duo that at the same time I could kind of see where, you know, where they were at with their lives, that they kind of reached this kind of point of no return and psychosis. I was quite taken aback, but I don't know. It was very just all kind of unexpected, and kind of what I was sort of anticipating was going to happen is not what happened. So it was just a very mysterious, eerie episode.
Awesome. Brandon, what did you think? Did you like it?
I think so. This is quite an episode.
Yes.
Yeah, I was expecting something like more horror-ish. And for most of the episode, it's kind of goofy. Like,
yeah.
Yes.
The actors are playing it very broad and very kind of comedic, and I didn't know, like, I couldn't see the ending coming. I was like, there's these two characters, and they're both kind of crazy, and I don't know who's going to crack first.
Mm-hmm. I had a good idea who was going to crack.
Yeah, that's a good way of, I think that's a really good way of describing it. Yeah.
I thought it was great, you know. Tales from the Crypt gives us a lot of, we have some horror episodes, and then we have more campy, funny episodes like this one, which are just kind of outrageous, and they tend to be my favorites. I'm a fan of campy horror, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff. Well, I don't want to spoil anything for this, like, 30-year-old episode, so you guys want to get into it?
Let's start.
All right, let's get into this here. So our episode starts up with a close-up of our best buddy, the Crypt Keeper, like super close-up. And he opens up his eyes, saying, "Before I get to tonight's terror tale, I'd like to introduce you to my pet, Peeves." And we look over at a fake-looking black dog just chilling on a table or something. And Crypty tells us that Peeves has a terror tale of his own. And he giggles a little bit about it. Tonight's skin-pimpling story is about a couple with their own pet Peeves. I call this chunk of chilling charnel chatter. What he says. He says a lot of words, I don't know, but Collection Completed. We zoom into the picture of the tail, and it's like a dude in his basement, and there he's got a couple of heads mounted on the wall of antelope or some bullshit. There's a cat in a cage, and he's about to poke it with a scalpel. And on the stairs is a woman looking down at him.
Yeah. You see a lot of the Crypt Keeper in this part, like more of the puppet than you normally see.
Yeah.
And the Crypt Keeper is barefoot here, and that kind of creeped me out. I felt uncomfortable by that. Like, I'm sure there's websites dedicated entirely to the Crypt Keeper's feet, but I was just like, I don't want to. It's weird. He's a puppet. He shouldn't have feet.
Would you like to have a t-shirt of the Crypt Keeper's feet on it? Or
I know Brandon's getting for his birthday in a couple weeks here.
That's a very niche, maybe Etsy store is the Crypt Keeper's feet.
We have a Teespring. I can take a snapshot. Brandon, I know what you're getting for your birthday.
I'll wear it.
People will be like, what the fuck is that? Who are you? By the way, Amy, feel free if you want to swear, like, NSFW okay. for sure. So
okay, and I apologize too that so my kids, you may have heard them. There may be some editing that has to happen with the knocking.
Oh, you're fine.
So sometimes they have a hard time when we're isolated in a different area. So
Brandon's got like six kids. I have a son as well. It's not a recording session unless at least one of our kids busts in here and asks okay. to watch yeah. our phone or something. So
it's don't worry about that at all.
Okay,
it happens all the time.
Awesome. Okay, good to know.
So this leads us into our story, and we get a little visual of rain pouring outside a window along with a title card for collection completed. And there's some birds in a cage singing as the camera pans over to show us fish in a tank. It's got like a really big fish in there. The tank is kind of yeah. too small for them.
They need yeah, to work on that. These fish have no space to move at all. It's like 10 giant fish in a tiny tank.
It's sad. There's a whole subreddit yeah. about this called like shitty aquarium setups or something. This would fit right in.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Totally. Yeah.
I love judging people.
Right. Who doesn't love to judge people in their fish tank setups, though, right?
Yeah. You can tell a lot about a person by their fish tank.
So, this pans us over to two empty sitting chairs. It took me a really long time to describe these chairs. One of them's like leather because I was like, they're not quite recliners. I don't know what they're called. Sitting chairs. I feel like you guys would have ripped me apart.
All chairs are sitting chairs.
I know. Oh, but they're sitting chairs, you guys. The lights okay, flash a bit because it's storming outside, and we see a few knickknacks around the house, you know, tchotchkes, if you will, of cats. They're cute. Eventually, we go over to some double doors, and out pops a woman with a cake in her hands. And she flips on the lights and sets the cake down on the table. We see that she's getting ready for a retirement party. She looks at her watch, and she says, "Oh, it's almost time." And she heads back into the kitchen door, telling everybody to stay in the kitchen. She gets excited, saying that he's going to be so surprised. But she gets interrupted by something breaking or something outside, and she's all, "Oh boy, he's here. Everybody be cool. Shut up." She races to the front door and opens it up, yelling, "Welcome home!" But she stops and looks around for a second, and then she sees a cat at her doorstep. And she yells,
"Oh, you poor little thing!"
And she grabs this sopping wet cat, and she's asking her what its name is, and it turns out it's Mew Mew. This cat, she names it Mew Mew.
What it's a very name. Creative name. Yeah,
I love it. I love Mew Mew. So she brings that cat inside and she closes the door and she pets the cat a few times before there's a knock on the door. Now this gal, her name is Anita, and she looks confused for a second, and she goes to open up the door, and it's her husband Jonas, who looks grumpy as hell.
Yeah, oh, which yeah. is a theme throughout the yeah, entire episode.
Yes.
Oh my god, yeah. He has resting grump face for sure.
I was just gonna say that, yes.
So he looks grumpy, and he's like, "You shut the door right in my face," you know? And Anita gets excited, saying, "Oh, Jonas, you're home. Oh, we've been so excited all day for you to get here." And she sets down the cat. She offers to help Jonas carry in his box of stuff because he's holding a box, but he's all, "No way, I got this." So they struggle for a second, and Jonas accidentally steps on Mew Mew. Oh my gosh. And he falls to the ground. He falls to the ground.
That's
a lot,
also a theme.
Oh my yes. god. Yes, lots of falling.
This poor old man, they're like, "All right, man, fall to the ground. No stunt doubles."
Right. We don't care if you break a hip in your old age.
No, poor dude. He yells at the cat, asking how that thing got in here, and Anita helps him up to his feet, saying that she'll put his things away. Then she discovers that he has this giant silver hammer in, like, his stuff, and she says it's gorgeous, but wants to know what it is. Jonas is all...
"That's 47 goddamn years, that's what that is."
47 years at the hand tool shop. 6 days a week, 52 weeks a year, and look at this thing. Some thanks. Can't even tell time with it.
You know, there should really be, I think for with this episode, there could be easily be a drinking game, because anytime he says 47 goddamn years, you could like...
Goddamn in general.
Yes, because he just says it so often throughout this entire episode.
It's his catchphrase if this was like a sitcom, which it reminds me of a sitcom, not gonna lie.
Yeah. Maybe yeah. another good t-shirt too. It just says 47 goddamn years on it, and I'm sure it would sell really well.
I'd sell at least 47 of them, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Anita thinks it's beautiful and he should be proud, but Jonas is way less proud, though, and he's complaining about being put to pasture, and the day he hit 65, he was out of there. Never mind that he's 17 years regional sales leader. Just throw the old duff away. Anita tries to assure Jonas that they'll miss him, and besides, this retirement thing is his time, and she ushers him to sit down because they got a surprise for him. Jonas goes to sit down, but uh-oh, there's a little chew toy on his seat. Oh, man.
Bad idea.
He sits down on it for like a quarter of a second. It squeaks, and he gets pissed, saying, "God damn your cats to hell! What do I have to do? Search my own chairs every time I want to sit down? Is this what I gotta do?" And Anita has absolutely no idea how that even got there, because the cats totally know that that's Jonas's chair, and they would never. You know what? She'll throw it away. It's fine. Jonas says that she can throw that new cat away, too, but Anita says that's her new friend. Jonas tells her she ain't gonna need no more animals now, because he's gonna be home all day, right here in this goddamn house that he worked for all his goddamn life, sharing these golden years.
God damn, he swears a lot.
Oh, how dare he take the Lord's... Well, no. That's the Lord's name in vain, is that right? I don't know. I'm not really religious.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very disrespectful.
So, my God. People in the people in 89 were probably like, the whole time this episode aired.
It's true.
He's got all this time to spend with Anita, but right now, he's got to hit the sack. Anita complains that he's going to miss the party, but Jonas, who's already making his way upstairs, yells,
"Too tired! Too tired!"
And he goes off the bed.
And he goes upstairs with his like hat and trench coat on too, which was interesting. So he must have been really exhausted.
And they're all wet too because it was raining out, but he's so tired.
Right? Yeah, too tired to get out of his wet clothes.
He's been waiting for this day for, well, kind of not really, but 47 goddamn years, ain't him, Brandon. Anita goes into the kitchen saying, "I'm so sorry, but Daddy's called off the party." And in the kitchen, I don't know about you guys, but I kind of thought there was going to be people, you know, because they kind of set it up. Yes. There was going to be a whole big people that were going to yell surprise.
I was so relieved that it wasn't people, because how awkward would it be for them to just be waiting in there while he was like, "God damn it, this fucking party and these goddamn cats." And they're just like, "Oh boy, when do we go out?
Exit stage left."
Yeah. Well, in this kitchen, there's just a bunch of cats and dogs, and there's parrots, and there's a guinea pig, and they all have little party hats on. It's adorable.
It is. They're all patiently waiting at the table. And
pretty quiet.
Yeah.
She's basically Pocahontas, you guys. The animals, they just kind of growl in sadness because this party was supposed to be lit. But it's not anymore. Yeah. It's canceled.
No goddamn party. Sorry, animals.
Damn it. The next morning, Anita gets out of bed and it wakes up Jonas, who looks at the clock saying, "Oh my God, Anita, what have you done? You turned off my alarm. I'm going to be late." Anita asks, "Late for what?" And she smiles at him. And she's got to get started. You know, she got to get her day going. She got busy shit to do. But she tells Jonas that he can sleep as long as he likes. And then she picks up a cat saying, "Good morning, sunshine," and smooches it before she walks out the room. Jonas tucks himself back into bed saying, "This ain't so bad. I can get up whenever I want." And he looks at the clock and it says it's 8:31. He closes his eyes, right? But 2 seconds later or so, he looks at the clock again and it's still 8:31. So he closes his eyes again for a second and then snaps awake and whips his head over to see that it's still 8:31. And he gets pissed and then he gets up. And he,
you know, I can't remember the last time that my clock read 8:31 when I got out of bed, maybe like 20 years ago.
I was thinking that too, right? Yeah, like, especially when you have kids, like 7 a.m. Is like the time to be awake, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, 8:30 sounds like a luxury. Not sure why he's so crabby about it. Jeez, must be nice.
I sleep in maybe once a week if I can. So, yeah, I hear you. I gotta say, though, like, where's your internal alarm, man? Like, if I have to get up for work at, like, 5 a.m. or whatever every day, I just tend to wake up at 5 a.m. regardless of, like, how late I sleep in. But I'm not 65
years old. 47 goddamn years of waking up at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. His internal clock. I don't know. He's got, like, a tumor in his brain or something. Who knows? Around in the bathroom, Anita's brushing her hair, and Jonas is like
the most awkward,
like,
scene ever.
Oh, I love this scene. This really, like, I mean, I don't know. Every scene so far has really set the tone that this is going to be a campy episode.
Mm-hmm.
But in the bathroom, Anita's brushing her hair, and Jonas is all, "Whoops, excuse me," and she invites him in, and Jonas looks at the toilet, saying, and then he walks over and to brush his teeth, and he puts toothpaste on his brush, and then Anita's, and the two begin brushing their teeth. And Jonas gets toothpaste all over his mouth, and Anita giggles, saying that he looks like a mad dog who's foaming at the mouth. And they both go to spit, but they accidentally slam their heads together, you know.
Yeah. They're playing this whole thing like they have never had their morning routine at the same time before. They've just never woke up at the same time.
No.
Never been weekends or holidays or anything.
Right. No. Yeah, it's like they've never lived together. They were never married. They're just like two crotchety old people that ended up in the same house, and they have no concept of what the other one does, which just seems very unrealistic.
Agreed, yeah. But this episode, to me, like, I feel like it's so sad in a way.
And, yes.
You know, we'll kind of get into it in a little bit here. It makes me sad, because I bet you there are people in the real world, not in TV, that have lived life like this before. I mean, they get inspiration from something. Mm. And I just think of all those old people that worked and worked and worked, thinking that that was, like, the thing to do in their lives, and then it's over, and they're like, oh, shit, I don't know what to do anymore. Just making me kind of sad.
Yeah.
Let's see. So they smash their heads together.
And over the pink sink.
Oh my gosh, everything is pink, even the toilet sink. I love it.
Yeah.
They grab the same towel, and it's awkward as some silly music plays. Jonas drops his glasses in the toilet and is all upset about it.
It's just a comedy of errors, this whole bathroom scene. A comedy of errors.
So ridiculous. And we see Anita getting ready for her bath, and Jonas is all, what, a bath? Now? In the morning? And then he tells him, duh, it's okay, I don't mind if you're here. Jonas gets all wide-eyed, asking if she can do it later, because god damn it, he's got to sit down and he's embarrassed and he wants a moment or two of privacy. She finally gets it. You know, the whole time he has to take a shit. And she's like, oh yeah, go ahead, I'll leave.
Yes, when in the history of, like, talking to your spouse, has anybody ever uttered the words, I need to sit down, in reference to, like, going to the bathroom?
I'm going to assume it's because they're old people. I don't know.
It must be. Is that an old-timey phrase? Because I've never heard that.
He's perfectly fine with being blasphemous and making goddamn everything. But, you know, when it comes to taking a poop, he is so embarrassed.
Right.
We cut to the kitchen, where Anita is cooking up the most disgusting looking steak.
Yeah, really.
This steak. My God. God damn, this steak is what I'm saying.
Yeah, really.
She's feeding all the cats and the fish and shit. Jonas rushes in, swinging his arms, and he hits the parrot cage. And he's saying, ah, the golden years of retirement. My first free weekend since I was 17. And he sits down for his breakfast, as Anita tells him to relax today and maybe sit down in front of the TV and take a nap. Jonas don't want to watch TV, though. He wants to be productive. He wants to be a citizen, and mandatory retirement is not going to slow him down. So Anita says that he thought he enjoyed passing out in front of the TV, but that was what a working man would do, and he doesn't have the right to pass out right now.
No.
Anita puts the steak on a plate and tells Jonas to do a little work, and then he can pass out. And Jonas sees that steak, and he smiles. But the plate brushes past him as Anita calls out for Garpy? Garpy?
I don't know.
Yeah.
She's not very good at naming animals.
No.
It's no Mew Mew.
Right.
Mew Mew. Love Mew Mew. A dog walks in and starts eating that abomination, and Anita sits down a bowl with bran flakes in it for Jonas. And Jonas just looks back and forth at the steak and cereal and says, what the goddamn hell is going on? Are you running some kind of luxury resort for every flea-bitten parasite that drips across my doorstep?
Yeah, well, he dripped up the stairs the night before with his goddamn raincoat on.
He was the flea-bitten parasite the whole time.
Yeah, really.
But he wants to know, what's that dog eating? A goddamn steak? Anita says that these babies are her friends. And Jonas wonders aloud that he can't believe he's been working for 47 years just to shell out for every mangy cat and dog that's hungry enough to be her friend. But Anita's all,
they keep me company. They're all I've got.
Jonas takes offense to that, saying, what the fuck's that supposed to mean? All right, so I've been a little busy for the last 47 years. I just didn't have time to sit and gap with you night and day. I had a living to earn. Anita tries to calm him down and pets his head and saying, it's all cool. Just eat your breakfast. And a crow pops up in the window, and Jonas goes into a fury, telling it to beat it and to get away from his car. And he throws some shit, and then we fade to a basement scene.
And whose window, like, is wide open for just, like, birds to fly into your whole house with? I didn't understand that.
It's got to be Anita. I think she
likes
it.
Yeah, Anita's just trying to get some new friends.
She wants all the friends. I feel so bad, like... This is the part where I was like, you know, Jonas is kind of building up to be like somewhat of the antagonist of this episode. And then we're supposed to be sympathetic with Anita, but I'm sympathetic for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it when people waste their lives away doing work that ends up not mattering. And, you know, Anita gets to be home alone, and she has to find all these friends and stuff. Like, it's a sad story if you think about it, and it's presented in like a hilarious way, and I'm just like, oh, these poor people.
Nobody's happy except the dogs eating steak.
Oh, those dogs, they get it though. They get the, they're the winner winner steak dinners of the episode.
Right.
For now, anyway.
Right.
Until later.
Down in the basement, Jonas puts his decorative hammer on display when down walks some old dude named Roy. What do you guys think about Roy?
Who's clad in, I think it's a USA tracksuit, and it looks like he's definitely been out for a run prior to coming down to his basement.
Roy is, oh man, he's such a sweetie.
He is. I know. He's so friendly. Yeah,
I like Roy.
Yeah.
I wish Roy was my neighbor. Ugh, I don't know if my neighbor's listening, but they kind of fucking suck. I'll take a Roy neighbor, please. Jonas tells him, hey, Roy, old buddy, how's it hanging? And Roy's chipper saying, hey, I heard you retired. I saw your car in the driveway, so I figured you were either sick or your car broke down. Retirement never occurred to me. And Jonas gets all sassy saying, gee, sounds like you've been thinking a lot about this. Better run to the newspaper. Inquiring minds want to know. Now, Jonas, he's there fiddling with a vise, and Roy hands him a model set for an A-4E/F Skyhawk. Oh my gosh, I'm terrible with these things.
Some plane.
It's a plane, yeah. He says, hey, since you got all this time now, I figured you might want to try making the best of it. And Jonas sarcastically thinks that's terrific, and he sets down this model. But Jonas got some real work to do, which is pruning. It's like a jungle out there. And he lifts up a big set of hedge clippers and snips them in the air a few times before we transition outside. And by outside, I mean fake outside, because this is the fakest set ever.
Yes.
It is unbelievably fake.
It reminds me of a 70s sitcom outdoor set. In fact, like, there's this echo that you can hear, kind of. Like, when people talk, you can tell that they're in a room or a building or something. It's a little... a little wonky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this yard reminds me of Malcolm in the Middle for some reason.
I was gonna say it reminds me of the Brady Bunch a bit.
That's what I was gonna say too. Yeah, definitely had some Brady Bunch vibes going on.
It's hideous. Anyway, there's a cat chilling outside next to a pond, and out walks Jonas and Roy. And Jonas is saying there's no shortage of shit to do around here, which is cool with him because he'd go nuts if there wasn't. And he's not gonna be one of those geezers that just sits on the porch waving at cars, which is totally what I'm going to do when I'm old.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I need to build that porch first, and then I can wave at cars when I'm old. He begins pruning his tree by snipping off shit here and there as Roy's all, oh, well, to each his own. Then something barks, and we look over, and there's a bulldog that's just kind of wandered in. And Jonas yells at it, and it scampers away. And then he starts trimming up that tree in a frenzy, just snipping everything. While he's doing that, he's complaining about Anita and her obsession with animals. Now, he doesn't want to air out the dirty laundry, you guys, but Jonas thinks that she needs some help. And then he asks Roy, like, oh, by the way, don't spread this around. And Roy's all like, dude, she's been this way forever. It's weird that you're now noticing it. He says one time she was sitting there, and there was a squirrel perched right on the top of her head, and it was like she was talking to him. Jonas thinks this is straight up disgusting. They're just tree rats. I love squirrels, you guys. Squirrels are my fave.
Tree rats. It's a good way to describe
it. We don't have squirrels here.
Well, you said one time, I think, like, they're poisonous, aren't they?
What?
Didn't you say? Anyway, Brandon has really great spider pictures. So, you know, he's in Australia, and he will wander into spider webs, and he will send me pictures of the spiders, and then I post them on Instagram. So he doesn't have tree rats. He's got fucking horrifying giant spiders, and it's great.
Better than tree rats. Jeez.
I like tree rats.
Well, if there were tree rats here, the spiders would eat them.
Oh my god. Can you imagine you send me a picture of a squirrel trapped in a spider web?
Oh god.
Just squirrel bones.
Don't show it to Anita.
Oh, she'd be so pissed.
She would be.
Roy goes on saying, dude, you should see her with the birds. And he continues, like, Jonas continues snipping away at his tree, and it's really just a stick at this point. And Roy tells him, you know, this is just going to take some adjustment. Maybe you should build that model or find another hobby. Jonas says that shit ain't for him. Hobbies and podcasts are just a huge waste of time, you guys. We cut inside where Anita's made Jonas a scrumptious lunch. She hands it to him saying, it's so nice having a man around the house to take care of. Jonas takes a bite of his sandwich and asks, what the hell is this crap? Anita assures him, it's tuna. It's good for you. And he takes that Sammy apart, asking where she got this shit. She got it from a cupboard, and it looks fine to her. So Jonas gets up, and he looks at the trash can, and he pulls out an open can of cat food, yelling,
Nita, this is cat food.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love it.
Poor Mew Mew is not going to get his tuna.
The last can, gone. Mm-hmm. Well, Anita's all like, oh, my bad, I didn't even know. And he tosses that shit back in the trash, when out of the doggy door comes that bulldog, right? And Anita gets so excited, saying, oh, Jonas, where have you been? Come here, boy.
Oh, man.
Human Jonas is all, Jonas? You named this dog Jonas? And Anita apologizes, saying that he reminded her of him. She starts to apologize more, but Human Jonas stops her, saying, no, don't ruin it with an apology. I'm flattered. Honored, in fact. Why don't you just invite him in? Have him sit at the table? We have a sandwich already made for him.
That's cat food, Jonas. Come on.
Jeez.
I love it. I thought it was so ridiculous. This episode just keeps getting more and more insane. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's progressively more.
Hey there, everybody. Cortland here, your good buddy and your advice-giving neighbor. Thank you so much for joining us today, whether this is your first episode or you've listened to everything that we've got. We are just so thankful for you spending some time with us. With new content posted throughout the week, it's the perfect time to sign up for our Patreon. We upload bonus episodes on Mondays, early release episodes when the editing is finished, and full-length episodes of the shows on Thursdays. On top of that, we have rewards for signing up like stickers, t-shirts, and more. With almost 4 years of content to enjoy, like ad-free episodes, we have tons of content to keep you up all night. Tiers start at just $1 a month, and all donations go right back into the show to help fund our equipment, our advertisement campaigns, and more. I'd like to take a moment to thank our current patrons, the Bronze Beth, Venice Witch, Tristan, Redemption, Lyle, Eddie, Ray, and Preston, the Silver Goth, Steven, Matt, Lindsay, Aaron, Brittany, Rachel, and Meredith, the Golden Day-Days, Sarah, Matthew, Faith, Christy, Mr. Normal, Angela, and Keith, and the Platinum Bostics, Kathy, Farron, Bryce, and Brian. Thank you for your support, everybody. Brandon and I truly appreciate it. We are all over social media, so give us a follow on Twitter at UANPod and on Instagram at Up All Night Podcast. We've got our TikTok channel and YouTube channel as well, our Discord server where you can hang out with other fans, and our Facebook fan page. For links, check out the episode description. We go live all the time, too. You can find us on Wednesday nights at about 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Instagram Live, where we watch full-length episodes of horror anthology shows. I also go live on Twitch pretty regularly, so give us a follow at twitch.tv/privateislandc. I've been playing a ton of Final Fantasy games and a spooky ghost hunting game called Phasmophobia. I'd like to take a moment to thank the Benevolent Badger for their work on the music for our show, aside from this theme dating start from Undertale, composed by Toby Fox. I'd also like to thank Brandon for his work on the artwork. A huge shout out to Amy for joining us this week for Collection Completed. I'd like to play the promo for her show, Pop Culture Retrospective, and I hope you check it out.
Hello, Up All Night listeners. This is Amy Lewis, and I am the host of the Pop Culture Retrospective podcast. I started my show in the spring of 2020 to deal with the grief that came along with the unexpected and tragic loss of my big sister, Rebecca. I wanted a way to remember her and tell our story of growing up together. So, with each episode, I take a deep dive into the pop culture of our childhood and adolescence from the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. From the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, to the 90s tween shows of Nickelodeon, to the history of Nintendo, to the story of the Sony Walkman, the Pop Culture Retrospective Podcast focuses on the backstory behind the music, movies, TV shows, fashions, electronics, and toys that have made Gen X and elder millennials some of the best generations ever. You can find the Pop Culture Retrospective Podcast on all major podcast platforms and at www.popcultureretrospective.com.
Thanks again for listening in. For now, I'll let you get back to Season 1 finale for Tales from the Crypt, and I will talk with you next week while we start up Season 2 of Crypt. Bye, everybody. That cuts us to nighttime, where Jonas is sitting in his leather chair in front of the TV, and he coughs a few times, and Anita, who's in the background feeding the fish from that, you know, sloppy fish tank, she says, oh, that sounds bad. And Jonas is all, I'm probably just coming down with a cold. Anita thinks it sounds like a hairball. Jonas tells Anita she's unbelievable. Also, he feels like he's getting a headache and asks Anita to go get him an aspirin. And she's all, oh, yeah, yeah, it's just in the kitchen. Be right back. Jonas starts flipping channels. I really like this part.
Yes, the subtleties.
Yeah, I love this part. So Jonas starts flipping channels and we hear kind of what's playing. And at first, a lady tells us that cougars were originally thought to be scavenging for food from the homeless, but they were actually found to be feeding on the homeless.
It's awful.
Oh, it's so bad. He cuts that over to the opening of Lassie for a second before he just turns that shit right off. He's tired of animals.
Mm-hmm.
Anita comes back into the room saying that she brought Jonas a little treat. It's a brownie. Jonas is all, but girl, I asked you for an aspirin. And Anita tells him just to eat it. So he does. And she smiles at him. And Jonas asks what was in it. And Anita gets all excited saying,
your aspirin.
I put it in the brownie for you.
He's so, oh my God, he's so pissed too. Oh man.
Oh, Jonas hates this. He yells, God damn it, Anita. I'm not like your dogs or cats. You don't have to put my medicine in food.
I am not an animal. I am a human being.
It was full on Elephant Man.
I love it.
So dramatic.
Anita looks around a little. She's all like, oh geez. And then we cut to the basement. And oh man, I loved it. It's a pinnacle part of the episode for me. I'm a human.
I'm a real boy.
I do feel bad for both of them.
It's a sad situation.
Like, he does just want to, like, live a normal life with her and, like, you know, connect with her, kind of. He's just terrible at it because he spent 47 goddamn years working and not being around her very much, I guess. And Anita, like, doesn't know how to relate to anyone other than animals because she spent 47 goddamn years alone at home right. with dogs and cats.
Right. She's never gotten a chance to say, well, I've been home for 47 goddamn years. Have some empathy for me and my animals.
It's, jeez. Yeah. Like, at this point, for sure, I was just like, this is such a sad story because, like, it's presented in a funny way. It's campy and stuff, but, like, nobody wins, you know? Like, neither one of them got, a long-lasting relationship with their spouse, and I mean, the animals kind of went out for a while. Until they don't, but like, I don't know. It's just like something that I feel like this is kind of like it could have been a real situation, you know? Like, inspiration comes from places, and somebody's probably lived a life or had a family member that had this kind of like a lifestyle, and it's presented funny, but it's such a sad thing, you know? In the basement, Jonas is sharpening his hedge clippers when Roy walks down, and he's brought Jonas the B-51 bomber this time. Jonas takes this sarcastically saying, gee, thanks, can't wait to get at it. And he slaps that down on his collection of other models that Roy's brought him.
It's a pile at this point.
Roy is a giver.
He is. And he also appreciates a good tracksuit because this time he's also in a tracksuit. It's not a USA tracksuit, but it's a beige. It's a nice casual tracksuit. Good for mall walking.
I'm going to get my fashion advice from Roy. So I got to get working on Amazon here for my order of old man attire because this it's happening eventually.
Yeah, I think if you search under mall walking, I think it should come up.
Definitely on my to get list for sure.
Yeah, do it.
Roy gets real with Jonas saying, oh buddy, I know how this must look, but for me, these models aren't just about building planes. You want to slow up a bit, you know, let life pass you by a little. Jonas scoffs saying, you let life pass you by and that's the day you start to die. Nah, I don't want to slow down. By the way, you know what Anita did last night? She gave me medicine like you would a dog. I'm not her husband. I'm like one of her pets. Roy suggests talking to her because she's probably not used to having him around all day. Jonas thinks for a second and then says, yeah, maybe you're right. I could be to blame a little bit. That cuts us over to Anita.
I love that just occurs to him. Like, huh, I guess communication is an option.
Oh my God, right? What an old man thing to... This whole episode is too old for me. That cuts us over to Anita, who says she's been wrapped up in her own problems. She didn't see that you had problems, too. She is really sorry. She really is. But, well, that's all in the past now. We can make a brand new start and be the way we used to be.
I'll rub your stomach, and you can lick the back of my leg.
And this whole scene is great, you guys. So, some sappy music plays, and it's acting as if she's talking to Jonas. But we pan over, and we see that she's just talking to Mew Mew.
When in doubt, it's probably Mew Mew.
I love Mew Mew. Probably rest in peace for sure.
Oh, definitely.
Jonas is secretly like looking at her in this conversation, and he just stares at her wide-eyed and then walks away. So he doesn't get a chance to have his little convo with her. Probably would have alleviated everything in this episode, but nope.
Yeah. Steady just has to look on and say, God, she's a crazy cat lady.
God damn.
Yep.
This moves us to the backyard, where Jonas is using his clippers to destroy some more of his plants. Out walks Anita with some lemonade, and she sets it down on the table because Jonas doesn't want any right now. And she walks away telling Jonas that if he needs anything, she's going to be inside cleaning the fish tank. So Jonas continues snapping at his plants when a cat jumps up to the table, to the lemonade pitcher, and does what cats do. Knocks it down. Mm-hmm. Love this enrages Jonas, who yells, "You miserable!" And then he stops, and he gets kind of sweet with his giant clipper, saying, "Here, kitty, kitty." And he snaps it a couple of times. And the cat jumps down and goes over to the pond. And Jonas slowly makes his way over, but he trips over a cat bed and plops right into the pond.
Which looks like a swamp, by the way.
Oh, it sure does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the saddest little pond.
Anita doesn't need to be cleaning the fish tank. She needs to be cleaning this pond. Whew.
Right. Yeah, really.
We cut inside where Jonas is just soaking wet and gross looking because he's covered in pond algae and he's walking up the stairs. Up in the bathroom, Anita walks out with a huge gasp and Jonas silently walks into the bathroom and Anita yells, "Wait, I'm cleaning the..." But he slams the door and Jonas just kind of walks into the shower. He turns it on with a smile and then slowly looks down and sees there's just a whole bunch of fish swimming around his feet. He just screams.
And he's fully dressed when he's in the shower in his camouflage gear, which is interesting. It. Yeah.
He also has his shoes on, I think. And like, oh, man.
Yeah. So this is the snapping point.
Yes. Yeah. This is it. That cuts us over to Anita at the kitchen table with a ball of yarn and she's crocheting. Actually, there's just a whole fucking every color of the rainbow yarn just sitting there. Jonas walks in with his suit on saying, "Honey, it finally occurred to me, the perfect hobby, a hobby I'll know, I'll love." And he goes to take a step, but slips on a dog's bone and falls to the ground. This poor man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anita calls out, "Oh, Jonas, Skippy's bone, he didn't mean it." And Jonas, he doesn't rage this time, but he pets the dog for a second, calmly gets up saying that he'll be out for a little while, and he leaves, and Anita smiles. He's finally getting it, you guys. He's going to be one with the animals, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's all going to be all right.
Yep.
That cuts us back to the basement where Jonas is humming or something, and he's moving some boxes around, and he's in kind of like war fatigues a little bit.
Yes. His outfits get progressively more psychotic as the as the episode progresses, yes.
As his mind does, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's all downhill.
He's putting his clippers in a box, and we transition over to Roy and Anita outside, and Anita is talking about how happy Jonas has been for the past few weeks, and she wonders what he's been up to in the old dingy basement. Roy's all, "Well, whatever it is, we were just in time. Any more yard work and this place would have started looking like a parking lot." We cut over and we look at like the shrubs of the yard, and they're basically toothpicks at this point.
Yeah. Cut them to shit.
Oh my gosh, he just sit there and snapped all of them into nothingness.
Mm-hmm.
Anita interrupts that view saying, "By the way, you haven't seen the other Jonas anywhere, have you?" Roy says, "Nope, can't say that I have." Back in the basement, Anita's at the top of the steps yelling, "Jonas, have you seen Skippy?" And Jonas yells at her and tells her to get the hell out of here, that he's told her not to come down here. And he heard Jonas outside, by the way. He's in the back, in fact, you guys. Anita gets super excited, and she just heads back upstairs. And she runs through the house and sets her cat down on a chair. She opens up the back door calling out for Jonas, her sweet, precious angel. Outside.
Oh, no.
Outside, we see dog Jonas, and Anita takes a few steps over there, asking what he's been up to. But Jonas doesn't move, so she puts her hands on him, and his eyes light up. And Anita gasps. We see dog Jonas's eyes flash on and off a couple of times, and then human Jonas walks out with, like, a radio controller in his hands, asking, "What do you think?" Anita wants to know what all the hubba is, and Jonas explains it's the prize of his collection. Part of his new hobby.
Indeed.
Why?
It's taxidermy, you guys.
Since when is remote controlled, like eyeballs, is that a big part of taxidermy?
It's huge. Okay. Taxidermy, Amy?
Is that part of the training? Because I know nothing about that. It's fascinating.
He's so good at it. Yep. He installed
remote control light eyes.
I love this. Like, he was just sitting there, like, clicking the eyes on and off over and over again. He is so proud of his work.
He is. Yeah. As he should be.
I mean, it probably took a long time, right? It took 2 weeks or something.
Right.
Anita's all, how could you do this? Jonas tells her that he's doing it for her, and he's making adjustments so that they can share their common interest in their golden years. She loves animals, and now he can learn to love them, too. Anita tries telling him that these animals are like her children, but Jonas is all, good children ought to be seen and not heard.
Ouch.
She looks around for a second and then screams,
what have you done to my babies?
Jonas just kind of smiles, and mew, Anita's mew. All, mew, mew. And she walks over to enter the house, but stops to scream,
you're not going to touch Mew Mew!
She runs inside.
What about all the other animals? I mean, aren't there, like, there's like a bunch of dogs and a parrot, and it's all about Mew Mew.
She apparently hasn't noticed that they've all one by one been going missing over the last couple of weeks.
I guess not.
As long as she had Mew Mew.
Mew Mew has taken up all of her time and attention, okay? She didn't have time for dog Jonas or, I don't know, what was that other dog's name? Like, I don't remember.
She called it. Can't remember.
So she runs inside to go save her cat, and Jonas just stays outside and turns the dog Jonas's eyes on and off with a smile.
Oh my god.
Time well spent. Inside, mm-hmm. Anita runs upstairs to her room and calls out for Mew Mew for that sweet, precious baby to come to mama. And she looks under the bed, and she finds a taxidermy squirrel, and she screams. Why did he put that under his bed? Like, his collection is in the basement, as we'll find out here in a minute. But he just hides one under the bed for some reason?
Right. That part, yeah, didn't make any sense. It was very kind of out of place.
Well, she races downstairs where Jonas is just down there fondling a couple of hanging rabbits. It looks so weird.
Yes, it does.
We see his little corner, right? And there's just a bunch of dead animals, like dogs, foxes, just a whole bunch of shit. Anita confronts him, asking where Mew Mew is. And Jonas is all, oh, she's around. But first, it's showtime. And he says that like Beetlejuice. Mew Mew. At some points, they call Mew Mew a boy. And then sometimes they call her a girl. So I don't know what Mew Mew is, but I guess it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. It's Mew Mew. That's all that matters.
It's Mew Mew, you guys. He says, here they are, my complete collection. And he shows her some dogs that he's killed and some shit. And he says that he's really proud of his handiwork. You'd think it's the large animals that are the most challenging, but it's the small ones that require the special technique. And he picks up a chipmunk statue and he says, now, you probably can't even imagine how many bones there are in a chipmunk's foot. He then looks at Anita yelling, what are you doing? What are you looking for? Oh yeah, something's missing, isn't it? The final piece to my collection. Something like this! And he pulls Mew Mew out of a box.
No, anything but Mew Mew.
Mew Mew is life. Anita demands that he gives her the cat, but Jonas tells her, nah, I can't give you her like this. I haven't finished with her yet. In fact, I haven't even started. Anita goes to grab for the cat, but Jonas pushes her away and into a table, and Anita sees the hammer trophy, and she grabs it as Jonas explains that he likes to use chloroform because it's dope and doesn't make the muscles tense up and they can pull away from the bone like
butter. Ew.
I love the way butter. Anita raises a hammer over her head saying he's not gonna kill that cat, and she slams down on Jonas, and we hear him slump to the floor, and that cuts us over to the living room. In the living room, Anita is sitting in a chair, and we see Jonas, he's kind of sitting in his leather chair, and Lassie is on again, and Anita asks if this show's okay with Jonas. That's nice. Anyway, she made tuna for lunch, guys. It's his favorite
choice. Mm-hmm. Yes. Straight from the can.
As I said before, it's so nice to have a man around the house to take care of. There's a knock at the door for a second, and Roy bursts in saying, hey, folks, it's your boy, Roy.
And this time he is not wearing a tracksuit. Yeah,
no, he's not. Nope. He must have ran out of them.
I guess so.
Anita, who's standing in front of Jonas, says, oh, welcome in, Roy. Roy asks how Jonas is, and Anita's all, oh, he's really slowed down and learned how to enjoy life. He's much happier. Anita steps aside to reveal Jonas, who's sitting in his chair, and his face is all stitched up with stuffing coming out, and he's got giant googly eyes in. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's terribly taxidermied, but he's a human.
He looks pretty terrifying, actually.
He does, yeah.
It's a nice reveal. I mean, like, I knew it was coming, but it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Mew Mew is on his lap, and he gets down, and Roy just gasps super loud, and Anita smiles, saying, "He really is." And we close up on Jonas's new horrible face. And that fades us out of the episode. Thing of nightmares. So funny. Oh, man. She needed to brush up on her taxidermy. Jonas was her first try.
Just started, man. Give her a break.
Back with Crypto, he says, "I guess Jonas learned that a hobby can be a really self-fulfilling, as long as you're not too stuffy about it. So until next time, I want you all to sit, stay, play dead." And he giggles a little, saying, "Good boy." And that's the end of the episode.
And scene.
Oh my gosh, you guys. God. What a wild episode. What'd you guys, like, overall, how'd you guys enjoy it?
I liked it. It was silly, but I liked it.
Yeah, no, I think as somebody who's, I must admit, you know, horror is not my, you know, top genre of things to watch. I'm a pretty anxious movie and, you know, TV watcher, so I think I appreciated that there wasn't a lot of, like, super gory scenes. It was more kind of a lead up to one sort of quick scene. So I think for somebody who's maybe not, you know, is a little bit more skittish like myself, it's a, you know, easy to digest, besides the you know, the end product of the husband looking like he has a pepperoni pizza sewn onto his face.
That's a good way to tolerable put it. Yeah, I'm glad that, you know, you came on for this episode, especially given you're not too super into horror. And it's kind of like a grab bag for Tales from the Crypt so far. We haven't had anything that has been very gory or straight up horror. Like, we haven't had like a Monster in the Darkness or anything yet. I assume that's to come. But yeah, it's one of those silly episodes, and I'm glad we get those. I think when we first started this journey through Are You Afraid of the Dark, the first real silly episode we had was called Tale of the Full Moon, which was about werewolves, and there was just some silly campiness in that episode, and that's kind of what I benchmark the campy silly episodes off of, you know?
Yeah.
This one is definitely a silly one, and I'm really glad. I love the silliness.
Yeah, definitely. I think it made it fun to watch, and I think especially the woman who played Anita did a really great job of just kind of being a kind of stereotypical crazy cat lady. She's very convincing.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, before we meet the cast, I would love to talk about the moral of the story. So this one is kind of a very heavy moral. Let's kind of think about this. I think the main thing is that I got out of this episode is that you can't just sit there and work your life away. You know, it's going to ruin your relationships.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely agree with that. Don't let your, you know, 47 years of goddamn hard work define who you are. Because, and this is something I kind of practice too, is like, you know, you are a person outside of your job, and don't forget that.
Yeah.
Don't just let your work define you.
So true.
Yeah. Yes. I think we can all agree.
Yes.
The moral of the story is capitalism is the real enemy.
Yeah, right? It makes everybody lose in the end.
It's true. Yes. And don't wait until it's like really late to retire either. I got kind of frustrated with my dad is not fully retired either. And I understand he's, you know, needs to keep being busy. But at the same time, you know, don't, you know, wait too long to retire. Is maybe try to retire early and, you know, enjoy stuff while you're healthy and mobile and all that stuff.
Another one is maybe talk to your partner like at some point in your relationship.
After 47 like at least goddamn once. Years,
yeah.
Get to know them just a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Take a shit in front of them at least once.
Right.
I think the real moral of the story, guys, taxidermy is a great hobby to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently very easy.
Yeah, yes. Right?
Taxidermy and robotics. Taxidermy and robotics is a beautiful combination.
Hand in hand, yes. You just go to the store, you get yourself some chloroform. I mean, you're halfway there already.
Yep, and yank that remote right out of that model airplane kit and use it to control eyeballs out of a taxidermy dog. It's fun.
Fun for the whole fam, yeah.
Yes, from ages 3 to 103.
Oh, man. Let's see. So we did moral. Let's go with alternate episode titles. So this one we just kind of, you know, riff on it a little bit. The episode title is Collection Completed, which took a really long time for it to, like, show us, like, what the title was about. I don't know. What kind of alternate titles could we give for this one here?
Jonas's Silver Hammer.
Ooh, that's a good one, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say 47 Goddamn Years is a good title for this one. Or just Goddamn in general.
Yeah, it might be hard to get that one in the TV guide.
Yeah.
It was 89, okay? Anything can go.
That's true. Maybe, I think, well, one of you said, you know, Mew Mew Lives, or this one's for Mew Mew.
Yeah, something about Mew Mew. Mew Mew is the star of this episode, even though for some reason it's not on IMDb.
Or was Mew Mew is Life? Is that, I think, yeah, that's what one of you said.
Mew Mew is most important.
The Tale of Two Jonases.
Oh my God, I love that part.
Yes.
I think it's so sweet that she called him Jonas. Like, she kind of missed him, so, you know, might as well call him Jonas.
Yes. Or they could have named it after a place where you could get your haircut in my hometown, which was a sheer encounter.
Ooh, that sounds dangerous.
Since he was always sharpening those gardening shears, you know, a sheer encounter.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, guys, are you ready to meet this cast? There's not too many characters in this episode.
Yeah, not very big.
Yeah. You
know? Let's go with Jonas first, played by M. Emmett Walsh. And I gotta say, you guys, I expected everybody to be passed away in this episode, but M. Emmett Walsh is actually still alive, and he is still kicking, doing stuff to this day.
Yes, I noticed that too. Yeah, I was totally thinking he was gonna have been deceased too, and I saw that he was still going. It's amazing.
He's still working it. I can't see for sure on IMDb, but I'm pretty sure he was born in like the 30s.
So he 1935.
Was like, yeah, he was the youngest of the three characters. And this guy's been in pretty much everything imaginable. He has like 200 or more credits on IMDb.
Yeah.
Started things back in 1968 with The Doctors. He was in Midnight Cowboy. Guys, have you ever heard of Midnight Cowboy?
No.
I've seen it.
But now I'm going to need to.
It's kind of like Brokeback Mountain, except made in 1969.
Oh, wow.
And, right? And, I have a fun story about that. My mom, she buys like movies all the time, and we do this big thing in our Christmases where we get together, we go in her basement, and she just like buys a ton of shit because that's what she does. And she bought my my brother-in-law Midnight Cowboy because he's very into old-timey cowboy movies and stuff.
Oh, it's not that.
He was in a movie called Nickelodeon in 1976. That's weird. Never heard of that. He was in Starsky and Hutch, City of Fear. After MASH. Oh, man.
Yeah, I feel like I read something about he always plays, like, often plays, like, grumpy cop roles, which I could totally see. And it's funny that he is still alive because he's one of those people that he looked old.
Yeah, in 89.
You know, 40 old. Years ago. Yes. Right. It's like, how is he still alive? Because he looked like he was 80, you know, 85 years old in that episode. So good for him. What's his secret?
I know, right? Tell us everything, Jonas. He was in something called Sundown, The Vampire Retreat in 1989, which I've never heard of. Let's see. He was in Free Willy 2, The Adventure Home. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
never seen it. He was in The X-Files, Snow Dogs. Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez.
It's the peak of his career.
Yeah, I don't even need to say anything else. He was in Adventure Time, though. I've never seen that, but he was in 4 episodes of it. He voiced Cosmic Owl.
Wow.
More recently, in 2023, he was in A Little White Lie. So, like I said, he's still working it.
Wow. That's
next crazy. Up, we have Anita, played by Audra Lindley, who sadly passed away in 1997. So, rest in peace.
Yeah.
And she was also in a good amount of things, 81 things. Her last role was in 1997, though, where she was in a TV series called Nothing Scared. I'm sorry, Nothing Sacred. My bad. Sorry, Anita. She was in Friends. She was in an episode of Friends, you guys.
Yeah, I thought she looked familiar. She's one of those people, I feel like I've seen her in a million things, but I can't quite place it.
Same, yeah.
Yeah.
She was in a TV movie called Bridesmaids, but not the one that has Melissa McCarthy. It's not the one with Melissa McCarthy.
And Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, it's this one from 1989 that nobody's probably ever seen. She started things off in 1941, where she was in Manpower. Damn, that was a long time ago.
That's old.
Yeah, it's like 47 goddamn years ago. Oh, no longer. Longer than
that. Happens to me all the time.
No. Over 47 goddamn years.
Yeah. I'm like 2000. It's still 2000, right?
Yeah.
Next up, we have Roy, played by Martin Garner, who has also sadly passed away, 2001, so rest in peace.
I wonder if he was buried in a tracksuit.
Oh, God, I hope so. That's what I want to be. Too.
Same.
Yeah.
Martin started his career, let me keep scrolling here, back in 1963, where he was in a show called The Doctors and the Nurses. I love how old shows have like really boring titles.
Yeah, really.
They're like that?
I do, because it's like at a time period where like they could just name a show like The Doctor, you know, and they don't have any competition.
It wasn't taken.
To be like very specific.
It doesn't have to be anything specific.
That reminds me of like old Atari games, and that would just be like baseball.
Yeah. He was in hockey. Weird. let's see. In 1982, he was in a TV show called Taxi. He was in the Twilight Zone movie. He was in the Kick the Can segment. He was in Mr. Belvedere.
Oh, nice.
He was in the Super Mario Bros. Super Show.
All the hits.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, really. This is really a who's who of 80s.
You know, Tales from the Crypt, I guess, is pretty known for having, like, really big stars in it. And, you know, I guess, you know, the guy that played Jonas, he was in a whole shit ton of things, still working today. Roy, on the other hand, he stopped his career in 1999 with his perfection called Shark in a Bottle. So he got to that point in his life, and he was like, that's it. You know, perfection. Done.
Right. Go out on top.
Exactly. But that's our cast. That's just the three characters. This is a pretty... light human episode, more so on the animal side. Mew Mew, like I said, doesn't have an IMDb credit. Damn.
Darn it.
Next up here, Amy, I would love to hear a little bit more about you. Like, tell us a little bit about your show.
Sure, yeah. So I started a podcast called the Pop Culture Retrospective Podcast in May of 2020. And I had started it as sort of a way to deal with some pretty significant grief that I had and have. From losing my sister unexpectedly and tragically in 2019. My sister was a really talented artist, was a teacher, was hilarious, was our kind of family historian, you know, remembered silly stuff from our childhood. But she unfortunately struggled with a lot of significant mental health issues. So she unfortunately lost her battle with that in 2019. And I had kind of like thought in my head for a long time, because I've been listening to podcasts for forever. I thought it'd be really fun to maybe like have a show with my sister, because she was so funny. We could kind of recall stories and go back and forth. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. But I decided to still kind of use that idea after some time passed to start a show. So I wanted to do something to sort of honor her memory. So I take a look back at things that she and I were into as kids growing up in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, and sort of research a vast array of topics, anything from, I've done shows on Tupac Shakur to the Golden Girls to, to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to, you know, My So-Called Life, the TV show. So really just taking a deep dive, if you will, into a plethora of topics from that era. And I've found it to be a lot of fun. It's a very, fun show, funny show. I've learned a lot of cool stuff along the way, and realized, you know, why she was into all these great things. And I think it's provided some comfort too to my parents, who are huge fans and supporters of my show. But also listeners too, who, you know, grew up during that time and enjoy reminiscing. So yeah, so I'm about three years in. It's a labor of love. It's kind of like my love letter to my sister. But I've had a lot of fun and met some incredible people. And it's been so much fun and such a great outlet for me creatively, and because of the grief. So, yeah.
I was going to say, I mean, you have such a unique like reason to do podcasting. I just was very attracted to that. I think it's wonderful. I mean, my apologies for your loss. Like, I know saying this can't really make anything better, but I just love your journey. I think it's wonderful that you have such a therapeutic outlet for podcasting that a lot of people don't have, and gives you a really unique voice. Not that we don't all have unique voices. And basically what I'm saying, everybody should start a podcast, but
yeah,
your podcast is wonderful. I've listened to a few episodes and I think you're doing really great stuff.
Yeah. Thanks. It's been incredible. I mean, I didn't really know what to expect when I got started, but now here I am, you know, being a guest on your show is amazing. And I'm having some guests on my show too, people who have reached out and wanted to collaborate. I'm going to, you know, this conference, I'm going to a podcast conference in the fall. It's crazy. It's totally life-changing in a great way. So I'm grateful that something positive could come out of something that has been so overwhelmingly difficult, to put it lightly. So
awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
The podcasting community is really great. You know, you'd think in a space where, you know, everybody wants to be heard, that it would be very, you have to listen to my show. I can't interact with others because it could take away my, you know, listenership or something. But I think a lot of people are in the whole spread the love thing, you know, like,
yes,
I hope that people hear you here and enjoy what you have to say and are checking out your show too. I think it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's all about, you know, I think that the phrase is community over competition.
Exactly.
You know, like there's plenty of time to listen to podcasts, so you don't have to pick one over the other. I mean, I listen to pop culture podcasts, but I'm also I'm a photographer, so I listen to a ton of photography podcasts. I'm a big Disney geek. I've listened to Disney podcasts for probably 15 years. So there's plenty of time and plenty of shows to listen to. So
absolutely, yeah. Well, what's your favorite Disney movie, if I may ask?
My favorite Disney movie of all time, I would say, from the animated side, is probably Peter Pan.
Oh, nice. That was the one that I grew up with. Yes. I watched the hell out of it and ruined my VHS of it. So
which was not hard to do back in the day, yes. Unfortunately. Yeah. I definitely probably watched ours until it was no longer usable. or the case had something spilled on it and ruined the tape.
Milk gets everywhere when you're a kid. I don't know what the hell. What are we doing? Well, where can people find you on social media?
Sure. Yeah. So on my Instagram is at Pop Culture Retrospective. Twitter is at Pop Culture Retro. And you can connect to all of my social media accounts and blogs and stuff on my website, which is www.popcultureretrospective.com. And that has links to everything, to the show, to the merch store, to episodes, to blog posts, all kinds of stuff.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, I gotta say thank you so much for joining us today here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. Brandon, let's take a look at the next episode here. We like to kind of take a look, see what's next, kind of give our ideas of what it's going to be based on the title and kind of a short description that IMDb gives us. So, Brandon, are you ready for the next episode title?
Right. What do we got?
Well, the next one is called Dead Right.
That title gives me nothing.
I know, right? You want me to read the description first, or you want to guess what it is?
Sure.
Okay.
I can't guess based on Dead Right.
I mean, it could be anything. So the description here is, Kathy wants a rich and successful life, and fast. She visits... Okay, I guess this one goes into a little more detail than we had before. She visits a medium who tells her she will meet a man who will inherit a lot of money and die in a violent way soon after. When she meets grossly overweight Charlie, who informs her of his rich relatives, she promptly marries him. As it turns out, the medium is always right.
Okay, that's like the whole story.
Yeah, my bad. look, it's IMDb's fault, not mine, I promise.
Yep.
It sounds only Sin Deep-like to me.
Yeah. By the way, Brandon, there is another episode later called Only Sin Deep, so that's confusing. This episode, The Dead Right, I've actually seen this one. This was one that I accidentally watched when I was growing up, so I kind of remember it a little bit. The actors in it are kind of famous, though. We have Demi Moore in here, as well as Jeffrey Tambor. They're going to be in this episode.
Cool.
So sorry, Amy, you didn't get anybody like super famous. And the next episode, we got Demi Moore, so sorry about that.
Hey, that's okay. I'll take Mew Mew and Anita.
Mew Mew All-Star in the episode.
And Roy, really. He's
Yeah, you got Roy.
Yeah. Roy, yeah, a treat for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's worth his weight in gold. It's he's priceless.
worth his weight in tracksuits.
Yes. He's an American treasure. So I'm grateful for his presence in this episode.
Oh, awesome. Well, I think that's all I got for you guys today. Amy, I just want to say thanks again so much for joining us today. It was truly a treat, a lot of fun to talk about, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on. I'm flattered, so thank you.
My pleasure. Well, you guys, I've been up all night. I'm an old man. I got to get going to bed. Thanks so much again, you guys. I'm out of here. Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
This is